song. Abacab. Genesis.
Sometimes you just need a little synthesizer.
That's a cool song, man. That's old school right there.
I've been listening to a lot of Huey Lewis in the News as I get ready in the morning.
Good stuff.
I love Huey Lewis in the News, and sometimes
a lot of that stuff.
Genesis would pop up, and I'm like, unless it's I Can't Dance by Phil Collins. I Can't Sing, you know that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But I'm like, I don't really want this. But I think it's a synthesizer. It's all the same sound. But
yeah.
Anyway, the New England Patriots are pointing fingers at the Minnesota Vikings, among other teams. They've accused the Colts, Jaguars, Panthers, and Vikings of tampering with footballs in the past and not getting the same kind of punishment that Tom Brady and the rest of the New England Patriots got. So on Pro Football Talk, there was this. They released an excerpt, and the excerpt said the Patriots are supplying the supplied information to Ted Wells during that investigation about a prior reported incident of actual ball tampering, which took place during the Vikings-Panthers game at TCF Bank Stadium in 2014, this last year.
Patriots game or Panthers?
Panthers.
Okay.
Evidence was also provided that Indianapolis ball boys in a prior season had been seen by Jacksonville personnel with ball needles hidden under their long sleeves. But we only care about the Minnesota Vikings right now, obviously.
I think so. I'm not worried about balls under anyone's sleeves.
No.
Or needles under anyone's sleeves. Or under needles under anyone's balls.
Pro Football Talk detailed the events that happened in Minnesota, and then they ended up clearing the Minnesota Vikings of any kind of tampering, but the bastard New England Patriots are pointing
fingers. What are those bitches talking about if we got let off?
According to sources from Pro Football Talk within the league, with knowledge of the situation, the Minnesota Vikings weren't even using what was going on here. So here's what it said. What happened in Minnesota with the Panthers and Vikings, both warned at halftime about not using sideline heaters to warm footballs. It was 12 degrees here.
I remember that.
Terribly cold.
I remember that. They always used to put them in a tumbler, like kind of like we're going to watch tomorrow. For the NBA lottery.
Mm.
They used to put them in a dryer, tumbled them on the sidelines and kept them warm.
Can't do that.
They can't do it anymore. Okay. Well, that used to be a rule that was actually good. You could actually do that before.
All other teams received a reminder the next day, so the rest of the NFL knew that the Vikings and Panthers had been warned. Reports at the time from NFL.com strongly suggested that both teams were warned because both teams were doing it. But the truth is, per another league source with knowledge of the situation, is that the Vikings were not doing it at all. The Vikings are used to, I mean, especially playing at TCF Bank Stadium, and they practice outdoors at Winter Park when they're playing an outdoor team.
Of course.
It's a cold place here.
No trouble. We can acclimate with anybody.
The Vikings were not doing it, but the Panthers were because they're a warm weather team and they needed their footballs warm, and Cam Newton wanted them warm, or the Vikings were playing by the rules.
Yeah. I like my balls warm, too.
Yeah, the confusion apparently came from accounts that it was happening on the Viking sidelines and then from the fact that both teams were warned about it, but the Vikings were not doing it. So, obviously it piqued my interest because the damn Patriots are like kids on a playground getting in trouble for pulling. Ryan gets in trouble for pulling Susie's hair. And so Ryan's like, but Bobby and Keith and Kenny and Mark and John were doing it too.
Take them all down with me.
Shut
what you do
the hell up.
With one of those idiots. Someone that snitches. Well, they're bitches. But if they snitch, you give them a wedgie. It'd be nice if all the teams that were just accused of cheating so that they could make up some difference should give all the Patriots wedgies. I give up on that. I'm sick and tired of the Patriots. I'm sick and tired of the way they're going about dealing with
such whiners.
Being caught, they're crybabies. Guess what? You're caught, dead to rights. Whatever you want to say about it, I don't think it's a big deal at all that there's a pound of air missing in a football. Right. I don't care, but you got caught, and it's the rules. So guess what? Shut up and pay the damn price. It's the way it goes. Brady, sit your ass over on the bench for four games. Robert Kraft, just pay what is in your side pocket, your right pocket. Pay $1 million and shut up. Just go away. Let it go away because they're caught.
You and I couldn't be any further from our views, because I disagree with the fact that I agree with the fact that you say it doesn't matter if there's a ball, a pound less PSI,
right,
whatever it
right.
is. I think I agree with you on that point. However, rules are rules, and the integrity of the game is very important. So if you're getting a competitive advantage, whether you think it is or not, whether I think it is or not, mm-hmm. you're still breaking the rule. And then to lie and conspire and cover it up is something completely different. I think the New England Patriots have a gripe when it comes to the Ted Wells report, because it says probably, possibly, there's a good chance that he knew what was going on. There's no hard, firm fact or evidence necessarily, even though Marsh Hallberg told us it's not beyond a reasonable doubt. What did he say it was? According to law, whatever it is.
There are three levels, I know. But the one that they gave, more probable than not, is the lowest degree that you can use to describe something like this in a court case. Or in law, it's acceptable to use it that way. But the top one is just like something that's very conclusive.
Beyond a reasonable doubt.
That it happened. There's something in the middle, obviously. There's another way of phrasing it. Let's put it that way.
So I get what the Patriots are a little upset about, up in arms about, but to throw other people under the bus.
To throw other people under, that is childish. No less than childish.
They are child. They're billionaires and adult men playing a professional sport. You'd figure the fact that maybe they'd have some sort of integrity, they'd have some sort of maturity.
My God. They've been to six Super Bowls in the last 12, 14 years, whatever, won four of the damn things.
But if you're led by a guy named Robert Kraft who owns the organization, which is worth $2.6 billion, and he's wearing Air Jordans or Air Force Ones or whatever the heck he's the stupid jackass is wearing with the suit to the on team planes when he goes to the White House.
And he,
come on.
Well, would you expect someone him to? Well, of course he's going to be a crybaby. Someone that wears stupid-ass shoes like that, worth $2.5 billion. Well, his team is. He's probably worth $4.5 billion. Anyway, you know what? You're caught. And you know what? They're going to get off this, too. That's the sad thing, is because the Wells report is so bad, they're going to find a way to pull this thing back. They're going to ratchet this thing back a couple notches. Watch. They should be busted. They're not going to get the whole thing. I believe that it's going to be pulled back some.
No, I completely.
There's not enough to stick.
But for Vikings fans that are already upset or already thinking that the New England Patriots are cheaters or dirty or whatever it is, they're blaming the Minnesota Vikings and trying to get the Minnesota Vikings in trouble, even though they've already been cleared of the situation.
And it was cleared, and oh boy. Okay, then.
Oh.
Everyone, eat me. Jerry Zagoda's up next. Radioactive Sports.
By Wiggins. Yeah, great defense by Wiggins. He takes the challenge. And then he goes back and slams it home. How about this 20-year-old?
All around the world. Y'all know. This is so gas.
Jay-Z knows his basketball, and he knows lotteries, too. I mean,
he's won the Powerball
five or six times, and he doesn't even collect the prize.
No. He gives it to charity. He's just got a solid heart. I love
humanitarian
this guy.
Philanthropist. Yeah. Jerry Zagoda joins us now.
Jay-Z?
Well, I know lotteries, but it's not the Powerball.
Dang it.
Well, he's going back to the first time I covered the Wolves, but... I don't know what it's like for the home team to do better in the lottery than they should, but I know lotteries.
Yeah, well, the Minnesota Timberwolves have never done better, but it's not like they can do better with the number one overall draft pick. It's not like they can get the negative number one overall draft pick. But my first question for you, Timberwolves lottery tomorrow night, the NBA lottery. What is the record for Glenn Taylor representing the team at the lottery?
I don't think he's ever gone, but I can remember. Not that I recall, anyway. So it's perfect or zero, whatever you want to consider it. So now the question is, who actually shows up on the stage? I think he and Flip want to put Taylor's wife Becky up there, but I think the league wants Glenn to be up there. So we'll see who wins out.
A little trivia here, Jay-Z. What animal? What stuffed animal did Fred Hoiberg carry with him to the lottery for good luck?
I thought it was a little bear, wasn't it?
I think it was. Either that or like a stuffed rabbit, something like that.
What is Jerry Zagoda
to
win?
I thought it was a little stuffed bear, but I won't swear on that. But that's what I thought it was.
Okay, well, I'm going to check
it out. They bought lucky rabbit's feet and all different things through the years. You know, they had Crunch up on the billboard
right.
18 days, whatever, long ago. And they've done all sorts of things, and none of it's worked. You know, tomorrow, I guess I saw on Twitter, I didn't look to confirm it, but someone said tomorrow's KG's birthday. Maybe they should have sent him.
Ah, it is KG's birthday. They should have sent him. He's not currently under contract right now, but I think they should.
Well, I think he is until June 30th.
Oh, until June 30th. Okay.
Okay.
The Superstar and I were talking about Jumanji Biliakaka. You know that guy, the EuroLeague MVP?
What's his name?
We like to call him Jumanji.
Oh, Nemanja Bjelica?
Bjelica?
Yeah, Bjelica.
The European EuroLeague MVP. His rights owned by the Minnesota Timberwolves. What are the chances he's coming over here next year? He's 6'10", but he can. I mean, he's got great ball handling skills. Can play power forward. He can play point forward. Soft shooting touch. Good passer. Great rebounder. A lot of people say he reminds them of Nikola Mirotic. Plays with the Chicago Bulls.
I talked to one scout about it. He said he is not Mirotić.
Okay.
Mirotić is a beast. This guy is not a beast. He's very skilled, though. He's not a you're going to have to hide him defensively because he's got he's got defensive issues. And I thought initially there'd be a pretty good chance this year. Now I'm getting the feeling that it might be more likely they actually trade his rights for a pick or something else. I just think when it comes down to it, I'm not sure if Flip thinks he's all that much better than Robbie Hummel. We know how much he loves Robbie Hummel, and the question is how much you'd have to pay to get him. So he's making good money in Europe, and what kind of slot you'd have to create to get him. So certainly possible that he gets here, but I think it's probably maybe just as possible that they could try to see if they could get someone who likes him, a team that likes him, knows him, a Dallas or somebody who would have a pick in the mid to late first round, and see if they can get another player out of that. But that all remains to be seen yet what happens with that.
Jay Zagoda, where do you think Tyus Jones goes in this draft, and what would you do to get him? We've been asking that question a little bit earlier on in the first hour of the show and trying to figure out if that would be a good fit for the Timberwolves outside of the kid being from here locally, the kind of player we could use behind Rubio, the kind of character we need, and the kind of leadership and a take charge kind of guy when he's out on the court. Not that that transfers over automatically to the NBA, but where do you see him going, and would you invest in a way to try and obtain him through the draft?
I mean, he's mid to late first round. I talked to a couple scouts in Chicago at the Combine who thought like the perfect landing spot to him would be a team like Houston.
Okay.
That needs a guy to orchestrate, to organize, who's got a lot of really good players around him, he's not great gifted physically, but a guy who always seems to make the right move and plays better with better players. And, the question is how patient do you want to be? I mean, are you going to draft a backup to Ricky? I mean, if you're doing that, you're probably still on another 3 to 4 year timeline for this team, or are you aiming for a backup? Trying to sign a proven player this summer, a guy who's been in the league 10 years, the backup Ricky, and can really help out, has been around. The question is just how patient you want to be, because you talk to people in the league and they like him, but a lot of people don't think he's much more than a career backup. So, question is he more than that? And or would you want to make a trade, whether it's the 2 second-round picks or Belitz's rights or whatever, to draft a guy somewhere, if you can get him in the 20s, and have him as basically your third point guard. I mean, with Zach Levine, I mean, is he good enough to get you where you want to go these next couple of years backing up Ricky is the question.
Yeah,
I'm not sure the answer to that question.
Okay.
I just think, they're probably better off. I mean, I guess the question is who you could sign. I mean, if you could go out and get a guy like, a really good free agent, which they have a hard time doing, they usually get the leftovers. But if you could go out and get a guy like Kurt Heinrich, would you rather have that? A guy who's been in the league 10 years and you can play, a good guy in the locker room. You need a couple, even if Garnett comes back and plays, you need another veteran or two on this team because it's still too young, with whatever you add this year in the draft.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I would think that Tyus Jones, ease him in like the way the Minnesota Timberwolves were trying to do, I thought, with Zach LaVine, or even the year before with Shabazz Muhammad, maybe even send him down to the D-League if that's what you absolutely have to do. But if that's the case, then Jerry Zagoda from the Star Tribune, we're talking Timberwolves NBA draft lottery tomorrow night. If that's the case, why get rid of Mo Williams?
I think they didn't like Mo's influence in the locker room. I don't think they thought it was good to be around young kids. And I think
what was wrong with Mo Williams?
I think he liked participating in off the court activities too much.
Mm.
And I don't think they thought he was a good influence on the team. And plus, the other thing with him was he was only on a 1 year deal, so he wasn't coming back. I don't think I think he thought he came here thinking this team was going to win in fairly short order. And when all the injuries happened, that was clear that wasn't going to happen. I doubt he was going to resign here.
Very interesting. We didn't know that, Jerry. Nice little golden nugget there. We appreciate all the dirty laundry on Mo. But anyway, I think that we need that leadership behind. If Rubio can't stand out there and play a whole season, and that's what we're finding, is that he isn't very durable. And they put him back out there for a few games. Wouldn't you know it, there at the end of the season last year, and he tweaked the ankle again. And now it's back in for surgery to get things re-looked at.
He's having surgery again?
I think he did. I know he did. He had surgery again at the end. Now what? Now what do you do? I mean, honestly, well, I mean, if he can't come back strong.
You better be durable because you owe him $55
million. I know it. And how do you move this kind of money? I mean, Pekovic, I mean, he's going to be here for the remainder of this.
No, somebody would take Peck, don't you think? Somebody would take him, Jerry.
When's he been out there?
Pekovic is nearly untradeable. Rubio's tradable. Pekovic is until he proves he can stay healthy and that thing isn't chronic. With 3 years left, you know, maybe another year, maybe you can trade him another year and a half. But with 3 years left at $12 million, until he proves he can play, I don't know who's, unless someone thinks they have miracle trainers, you know, a team like Phoenix or whatever, that they could do what the Wolves couldn't. I don't know how you trade that contract.
I think Rubio's
agent, Dan Fagan, never wanted him to re-sign here in the first place, and he's smart enough that when he signed, let Rubio sign that, I'm sure he's got another team or two in his pocket that would be willing to trade for that contract if you want to trade him. If, say, they draft a Russell or a Moutier and want to right away trade Ricky, which I don't think they would do, but if they want to do, I think that's doable if you want to, because I don't think that's a prohibitive contract. It's a big contract, but, you know, guys get traded with bigger, worse contracts than that, and I think Fagan knew when he signed that, and I think he had no intention of Ricky staying here for 4 years when he let him sign that. So we'll see what comes to pass with that.
Talking Timberwolves in the NBA draft lottery tomorrow night with our guy Jerry Zagota from the Star Tribune. Any idea what you think the Timberwolves big board looks like? Obviously, if they draft number one overall, you would think that it seems like the consensus is Cat from Kentucky, the big guy, and then I would say Jahlil Okafor, and then what, D'Angelo Russell, and the Kristaps Porzingis guy. And how does it shake up for the Timberwolves as far as you know?
Well, we still got 6 weeks to go here, so, you know, they still got to bring guys in for workouts, they still got to do their background checks. I mean, things can change, and we're still a long ways out here to say what the big board looks like. But I still believe, I don't believe any of that national stuff that everyone's assuming they take talents. I think if the, you know, they won the lottery and they had the draft moments after it, that they take Okafor. I still think that's who Flip likes the most. Now, he can change his mind and get talked out of it, you know, go for all the reasons, the defense, but I just think he thinks that he is a rare talent, the kind of, you know, kind of guys that don't come along very often, guy who could be unstoppable offensively. And I think he thinks, you know, he's already supposedly lost 10, 12 pounds. If you get him into an NBA body, which these guys usually do after 2 or 3 years, you know, even Kevin Love completely transformed his body, that he's a guy that, you know, he's not going to be a great shot blocker, but he is going to be a guy, you know, he's certainly coachable. You can teach team defense, draw charges, and I think he thinks he's just so special offensively. I mean, all year long, I know he liked him. And then when we got to the tournament, every time you asked about Towns in Kentucky, he kept using the phrase body of work, which means don't judge a guy just on what he did in the tournament. So that, to me, indicates that he's still, body of work is a code for a guy like Okafor, who, you know, people have been talking about Okafor like they were with Wiggins since he was 14 or 15. Usually those guys turn out pretty good in the NBA.
Yeah, I completely get it, and I get the polished scoring, but when it comes to the Minnesota Timberwolves and the guy who, me, loves them, have loved them since they began the franchise, watch them every night, even when they're god-awful, the last thing they need is another guy that can't play defense, especially down low. I mean, it just drives me insane. That's why I like
Cat. Now, the question is, how do you know he can't play defense?
Well, did you ever see him play defense?
You know, I think a lot of that Duke was telling him. I think a lot of it in Duke was with Coach K saying. I mean, I talked to Justice Winslow and I talked to Tyus Jones in Chicago, and they swear the guy, when he wants to and can, Winslow said he could be the best defender in the country. Mm-hmm. Now the question was, how much were they telling him at Duke, you know, don't, you know, stay on the floor? They wanted him to stay on the floor offensively, and the theory is, you know, they took some of his aggressiveness defensively off because they didn't want him, you know, getting two quick fouls, especially being as big as he is and the way they like in the college game to call the big guys with all the fouls. Now, maybe that's not true, but I don't think you can say a guy who's 19 can't play defense. I mean, I think certainly he has his issues there. You're going to have to coach him. He's going to have to get better at it. But I think people are getting way too simplistic to say that, you know, Carl Anthony Towns is Bill Russell and Okafor can't play defense at all. I mean, I think certainly you're getting more of a two-way player in Towns, but are you getting, you know, the question is, does Flip think Okafor is Duncan? If he thinks he's Duncan, you take him. And if you're wrong, then you've made a mistake. But I think he thinks he's Duncan.
Yikes. Mm. Woo.
I don't know. I like my big guy.
The other thing about, you know what? You know what's funny is we're talking about both those guys with their names, aren't we?
Well, you are.
Well, you are. I hate that, too. I mean, what are you trying to do?
We call Cat still, but we call Okafor because
we can do that.
He's like, we feel like he's the consolation prize on
this
radio
program. We'll pass on him. Yeah, we're done.
The other thing to remember about Okafor is just look at his hands. Look at the guy's body and think, what's the guy going to be like when he's 24? I mean, the only other guy I can remember with hands like that is Kawhi Leonard. Those guys, I mean, maybe that's one of the reasons he doesn't shoot free throws well, because usually guys with huge hands have a hard time shooting free throws.
He can't shoot free throws. He doesn't block shots. He has big, clotty feet. It's hard for him to move, it seems like. And that's why I like the other guy, because Cat.
How does it go in 2 months that you wouldn't mention his name because you were so superstitious that you didn't want to risk not
Wisconsin.
Getting him?
The national championship game against Wisconsin took us down.
See, you get in danger when you start doing that, though. When you start making opinions on one game.
Well, it was like the two or three games that he was being shut down, I think, by Gonzaga, or there were a couple other teams. I can't remember who he played against.
Carl Anthony Towns scored 1 point.
Look, what you're trying to do here is not funny. What you're doing right now is not funny, Jerry. What you're doing by using the name is not funny. I know what you're doing.
It hurts my feelings.
You know what you're doing.
Hey, when you guys start sending me a paycheck, I'll start sending my
room. Okay.
No, that's great. Jerry Zagoda, absolutely love you. We'll talk to you again tomorrow. Thank you so much for agreeing to come on with that. We'll send you a check in the mail. It'll be from Superstar, because God knows I have nothing.
Yeah, I ran out of checks, but I'll get some. I'll counterfeit something. I don't know. I'll write a bad check. Anyway, Jerry, take care of yourself, and we'll get in touch with you after this is all said and done. And
what are you guys wearing tomorrow to ensure good luck?
Clamps.
I've got good luck.
For me, it is. Yeah. It's terribly good luck.
Well, and I've got nipple warmers on right now, so they're made out of possum.
There are things I wouldn't know, I couldn't know, I shouldn't know.
You probably should, and you shouldn't ask.
You asked the question.
Yeah. Well, there you have it. For good luck. And
we'll talk to you tomorrow, Jerry.
It's a weird show. It's a really weird show. Thanks, Jerry.
All right.
Take care.
Bye
now.
It's going to get weirder. Is that a word?
Yeah.
Jim Rich is going to join us next.
Weirder? More weird? Weirder? I don't know. I think so.
I think Jim is weirder than Jerry Zagoda.
Oh, yeah.
By a long shot. He's from Fox 9 Sports, a good friend of ours. He'll be on with us next on Radioactive Sports. I've been trying for the longest time to try and get along with Jim Rich. And the problem is, with Jim, you can't count on him.
Yeah, what's the deal?
I've been trying for the longest time. There he is. Jim? Jim? How's it going, little buddy?
Well, I know that. I had to bring the head comb.
Lou, can you take Jim back down to the barn?
That's what Holtz means in German. Hardwood.
We don't care.
I meant to do that.
Hello.
Where's Jim at?
James.
Is he on or not? Hi, hey, Jim, how you doing, bud?
James, we didn't say anything bad about you as we were waiting.
We're fine.
Not one thing.
We just.
Yeah, right.
We're kind of calling you a goat, though.
Not a bad farm animal.
No.
No, truly not.
If I got to pick one, that's not a bad one.
I'm rather fond of both.
Sheep. I think that was a sheep. That wasn't a goat.
Oh.
Look, I would know.
And of course you would know, because their anatomy is very similar to human beings.
Don't I know it?
If you know what I'm saying.
I do. That's a strange thought. Ouch. Jim, lottery's tomorrow. What do you do? Do you package a deal? Here's the question of the day here at the Radioactive Sports Show. Do you package? Yep.
It's a big one.
To get ready. You package every damn thing you got, just kind of like Mike Ditka did to get
Ricky Williams
from Texas.
It doesn't have to be that crazy for this.
No, but after your number one guy, which is Cat from Kentucky,
hopefully
we don't care about Okafor anymore. But we do want his teammate Tyus Jones. He's from Apple Valley here locally. He is a hero now, winning the national championship, winning the outstanding player of the journey. Would you package those two number twos together? This is Ben's idea.
And
bring him here.
And whoever else that you need to package to get the deal done, whether it's that EuroLeague MVP, the Bajinga, Nemanja Bajinga guy, Belalitsa, or it could be Anthony Bennett or Peck.
Or that big Polish kid from the Vikings.
Or Babatunde Bagaduszki.
Oh, well, that certainly would be interesting to a lot of teams. He would fill the lane.
Yeah.
Polish guy. He would be good in the middle.
But don't you think Tyus Jones?
Saying pack up our two number twos.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're
right.
Going to keep our number one pick, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if you were all. Well, you could just use that number one and pick Tyus.
We want to get value. We want to get good value too. We don't just want to throw crap at the wall just to get Tyus Jones because we don't think he's necessarily that great. I mean, I love him as a player. I think he would be a great backup in a learning role, and he could grow into a position. But just think about putting butts in the seats. I'm such a Timberwolves fan. I watch as many games as we possibly can on the TV. Superstar and I go quite often when we're down there at Hubert's on Wednesday nights. I'm sick of seeing the Target Center empty. Obviously, when Kevin Garnett came back and he plays, everybody comes running out of their houses to go to the game. We think Tyus Jones could do that same thing. The same thing Lindsey Whalen did for the Lynx, the same thing Zach Parise did for the Wild, and other people.
Torrey Hunter,
well, he's not from here.
But he's been here long enough. We like him because he does well. So now he's one of us.
You said exactly. Kevin Garnett. He's from here either, you jackass. Sorry.
Whoa.
Go ahead, Jim. Sorry. It happens here all the time.
Well, you know, the Wolves in the past, have they drafted many point guards? I'm not quite sure how he's done drafting point guards. I don't know. You know,
we drafted Johnny Flynn and Ricky Rubio, but we didn't need Steph Curry.
No.
No.
No. You can't use a player.
They drafted
like that.
Steph Marbury. He didn't want to stay here very long. They drafted Pooh Richardson. That went well.
We had that one guy that ended up in like Seattle and then with the Celtics, that Allen guy.
Ray Allen.
Yeah.
We traded him to the Milwaukee Bucks. We also drafted, what's the guy from Denver? Ty Lawson. Traded him.
Kiki Vandeweghe.
Didn't need him. What's the other guy from Miami? Drafted him in the second round, the point guard down there in Miami, not the Cole kid.
Chalmers?
Yeah, Mario Chalmers. Didn't need him either.
No.
No,
not a player.
No.
So what would you do? Now, we want to make good use of our number four. We're going to have to pick number four, of course, because that's how it's going to turn out in the lottery.
Is that your prediction? We're falling?
Yeah. Of course we are.
We just ran the draft simulator on television, one that is on the ESPN website.
Yep. Okay.
And three of the five times the Wolves did not win.
No, but they won two out of five.
They won
times.
Two out of five.
Yeah, they won two out of five. That was surprising.
We've been doing that same thing. We do it out of 10 tries though.
Okay.
For the last week anyway, if not a little bit longer than that, we've been doing it every day. So, I think if we took the combined average of all those days that we've done this, it has to be three or four. It has to be a three or four. If we had to take every one of those 10 pick days, average everything that we came up with as a mean number.
The likelihood of us drafting is likely three and four.
But the average.
But the Minnesota Timberwolves have a higher percentage, Jim, and I don't know if you know this or not, 25% chance of getting the number one overall pick, and I want to say it's like a 35% chance of getting the number four.
I think it's three.
Pick. But it's a higher percentage of getting the number one overall pick. So every day around 6:15, we roll this thing 10 times. We'll do it today. We'll do it again tomorrow.
Yep.
And then at some point on Thursday, I'm sure we'll play the funeral music, the sad violins, because we'll be getting screwed again, and we'll end up with some guy named Kristaps Porzingis.
That guy.
You know what? If that happens, are you going to see Glenn Taylor, you know, because he has to sit there now? Did you see the NBA change the rules for who could represent your team?
Yes. Oh. Yeah, we talked to Jerry Zagoda about this just a second ago. He wanted his wife to do it or something?
Yes. Yes, he wanted his wife to represent the Wolves.
Jeez.
But the league now has decided that, and I think it's because they were tired of that snotty-nosed kid from Cleveland winning the lottery and standing up there. And so the league said, that's enough of that. You're out. No family members. It must be a representative of the organization. And so Glenn Taylor will be there tomorrow night. And I predict if they pull four, he will flip that desk over that they sit at. And he will go over and grab the envelopes and look to see if that Laker envelope is indeed frozen. And that's how he knew which one to pull.
Well, that's the thing. We're talking to Jim Rich from Fox 9. That's the thing. Why not? Just back in the day, they had the lottery, the ping pong balls live on TV. Now they don't even do that. Now they come out from a back room with these envelopes.
Yeah.
Exactly. And my question is, you know, how many nights do you watch the Minnesota Lottery?
Never.
How many times have you watched Powerball?
Couple.
It's for bazillions of dollars, and they could do that live, and they could fit it into a 60-second TV spot.
Yes,
or it'll
they
go
could.
Over.
Of course they
the
could.
The machine is never. Have you ever seen like one shoot a ping pong ball across the room and the guy's got to go chase it? No.
No.
The machine works well. They've perfected it.
Yeah.
Let's watch it live.
Yep. But why don't they do that? Do you have a reason for that one?
Well, that's what they keep trying to come up with is a reason that we're supposed to think is believable.
It's fair.
We know what the answer is.
So stupid.
It's because they want to control how it turns out.
Of course they do. It's going to be New York and L.A. number one, number two, and then some other team, and then the Timberwolves fourth. I just did this simulator thing that you were talking about, which we're going to do again here 10 times to get the best results coming up around 6:15. And the damn Utah Jazz with a 0.7% chance of winning it all just got the number one overall pick.
That's the way it goes.
Why would the Utah Jazz? You would think. I mean, if we at least have the Rookie of the Year, Andrew Wiggins, what do the Utah Jazz have? That's more of a desolate place and a franchise in the NBA than the Minnesota Timberwolves are. Stupid Jazz.
Yeah, I just think that there's.
You can have like 16 wives in Utah.
20. 30. Whatever.
Yeah. A great place for a running back to maybe go for.
Oh, I like that. Hold on.
Oh, my God, it's huge!
That was good, John. Very good, John. Hey, tell me this. A little trivia here. One last real quick little tidbit here. What was the stuffed animal that Fred Hoiberg had up there at the lottery? That's
You're
all it's worth.
Everybody
that's
today.
All it's worth talking about because it's fixed. They're going to go back in the back room. Someone has to have the idea. Someone has to have the notion that Minnesota needs help and that they should give the number one pick overall to Minnesota. Otherwise, you're not going to get it.
Right.
So there's nothing
gotta
to talk
about. We got to come up with some kind of good luck. Can you go sit on Glenn Taylor's lap tomorrow, Scott, if we buy you a ticket?
How about somebody breaks Glenn Taylor's arm or something? Make him come in a wheelchair or something.
If I sat on Glenn's lap, it would break everything. Everything. Literally everything.
Including his spirit.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but one thing's for sure, he will not be able to flip that table.
No, he can't.
He won't be able to because he'll be all broken. But I don't know. I give up. I really do. I hope we get it. That's all we've been doing.
They certainly deserve it.
Yes.
After all the misery they've been through all these years.
I know.
18 times they've had a chance to move up in the lottery and never have moved up once.
18
in the franchise
times.
History.
And they've moved back 10 times. I want to say twice. Three times and three times once. Make that twice.
Oh,
son of a
joke. I don't know, Jim. I'm sick and tired of all this.
Don't you worry, Jim. We'll talk about this again tomorrow.
Right. And you know what? Why do they have a lottery? Why don't they just have you? Because teams tank anyways to get the worst record.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So just give them the top pick.
Flip didn't tank.
Be done with it.
Flip didn't tank.
You
said
that's a flip. You're in trouble.
You're right. Oh, geez.
He didn't play Rubio. He didn't play Kevin Garnett. Didn't play anybody of any worth whatsoever down the stretch for like the last 20 games. But he wasn't tanking at all.
Nope.
No. The other teams tank. I didn't say Wolves.
Right.
I didn't say the Wolves tank. I said teams tank.
Yeah, they do.
I didn't say the
Wolves
tank.
Uh-huh. You're right.
Other ones tried to get past the Timberwolves,
but we
were too good at holding on to that spot.
Of course.
And so they could not wrestle it away from us.
Yeah.
Well, that's how it happens. And Jim Rich to tell us that. I knew all along, and that is confirmed now by Jim Rich. Thank you, sir. Thank you for your time. We have to get on with Hardball with Mike Berardino, and that's what we're going to do right now.
Well, really, the hottest team in professional sports.
No tank in there.
No, no kidding.
No, well, no need to. They're on fire. So we're going to talk. We're talking a little seam head with Mike Berardino next.
Time to oil up the mitts. It's Hardball with Mike Berardino.
The information in the head of his, so I'm willing to learn it.
Definitely excited to have him, you know, lead the way.
Get your seam head talk right now on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Into right center field. Bernier has his first hit. Going to run to the gap. It's going to score two. Doug Bernier with a double. And the Twins now trail 11-3.
That was a close game yesterday.
Playing ball, man. That's what they do.
They were making a comeback, a surge in the bottom of the 11th. But seriously, let's not make fun of the Minnesota Twins. They took another 2 out of 3 from the Tampa Bay Rays at Target Field over the weekend, giving the hometown fans something to cheer about.
And that's all there is to it. And they're 21-17, so...
Third in the AL Central.
Relax. Yeah. We got the Pirates next. What do you think of that?
I think it's fine.
We got Mike Berardino now. He's the guy. Hello? He's the kind of guy that has been in. Hi, Mike.
How you doing?
I'm good. I'm fine. I'm really much, much better. Listen, this squad's whooping some ass, taking some names. Yeah. Aaron Hicks included. I don't know what it is, but the kick step seems to be working.
Yeah, he's looked better. I think he's got some staying power this time. The thing that was odd yesterday, aside from the Twins actually losing a game, is Kenny Vargas. You know, that's Ben's guy.
My guy.
Well, most of them
been
are
sent down.
Most are Ben's guys.
No. That's not true. But Kenny Vargas really is my guy.
Okay. Yeah.
Are they just sending him down? Because what I thought you said, excuse me, in the Pioneer Press was that they're sending him down. They're playing a team, obviously, in Pittsburgh, where they don't have a DH this week. Will he just be back after that, or how is this all going to work out?
No, not unless there's some sort of injury shenanigans or good fortune, because with somebody else like Doug Bernier, because they have that rule where you send the guy down, these guys stay down there for 10 days.
Jeez.
So the soonest that Vargas could come back is the first game of the Toronto series, I believe on the 29th at home. It seems, if that was the reason, it seemed excessive. Molitor said that there was more concern about the approach he had at the plate, and yet every stat that I tweeted out, his average, his on base, his slugging have all skyrocketed since they gave him that 3-day break, starting in Seattle, coming through home against Detroit, and then they put him back in, and it's been sporadic play, but it's been good play for him. The big power necessarily hasn't been there lately, but he's been productive, so he took it well, but you know, I would have understood if he had squawked.
Yeah, what does it do for a guy, I mean, especially a young guy like Kenny Vargas, who it's tough to stay in the big leagues, but what does it do for the psyche of somebody like that who, like you said, had turned things around, hadn't necessarily been super consistent? Well, I mean, it wasn't a glaring need to send him down, I don't think. What does it do for somebody like that in their progress?
It'll make him wonder the next time what exactly he has to do to stay. You know, he had a period last year. Maybe it was just the timing aspect that made it kind of not an issue, because you had the 40-man expansion in September. But he went a month solid without a single walk. He went 125 plate appearances, just like Danny Santana did this year, without a single walk, and nobody said boo. And then the last week of the season, he walked like every time up. But it's not even a case where he's piling up strikeouts at an abnormal rate, or not working hard, or looking bad in the field when he does get a chance to play in the field. He's pretty much done what they wanted, and he hasn't given us the light tower power necessarily that we saw often in the last 6 weeks of last year. But I was really surprised by that, and if it really had a lot to do with these two games in Pittsburgh, we're on two interleague games, where you still might like to be able to bring a guy off the bench who can put one in the seats, and they don't play another interleague game at a National League team until St. Louis in mid-June. So just a little bit odd, I thought.
How about this thought? I'm reading one of your tweets, just to sort of take a left turn here. But Byron Buxton, since May 3rd, 10 for 62, 15 Ks. What's going on? What's going on there, Mike?
I don't know. I'm not there. Terry Ryan came back from his visit there and was pleased with Buxton and said that everything is progressing properly. He just needs the bat to catch up. Well, the bat seems to be lagging here lately. He had that 10-game stretch, guys, back in April where the fans are getting excited. He tore the cover off the ball for 10 games. Everything was off the charts, and people were like, bring him up now. And that was foolish. And he continues in these last 2 weeks, like we say, hitting 161 in that stretch. Without seeing these at bats, I would have to think he's a little bit lost, and that's what Double A is for.
Wow. Mike Berardino, Pioneer Press, TwinCities.com. We talk to him about the Twins every single day, love him to death, even though he refuses to come hang out with us in public. It's unfortunate. Hardball brought to you by Nature's Fury. NutriDrink, vitamins never tasted this refreshing. Enjoy your night off tonight, Mike Berardino. We'll talk to you tomorrow, as I'm sure you'll be in Pittsburgh, what do they call it, the Three River City or something like that?
The Pirate City.
Stop it. You can smoke in their malls.
I'll be in Pennsylvania. Yes, I will. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
All right.
All right. Be good, Mike.
Enjoy the Hutterites or the Amish or whatever they're called out there. Horse and buggies and whatnot. Oh, he doesn't waste any time hanging up on us, does he? What a jackass.
Well, normally he does it in the middle of the interview, so I guess that's actually good. Today he actually held on a little while. We're going to have to get back to a little deflate gate blaming, the blame game. Just catching up on a few things right now on Bleacher Report with Tom Brady's agent. Of course, he's the arch enemy of the entire National Football League. But we're going to come back. Little Mike's break. Oh, and by the way, caller number 15, 651-989-9105 right now wins four tickets to Midwest Mopars in the park May 30th and 31st at the Dakota County Fairground. Caller 15 at 651-989-9105. Good luck, Sissy Pants. Come on back.
I'm not worried.
Shouldn't be.
I am.
I mean, if you're sitting at home.